How beautiful. So much appreciation and love for our musicians and for your hearts and for being with us on this day that we have created and co-created in ways that sometimes, well, we wonder why we do this. So your gifts of waiting and stillness is a slide that we see now. One of my master teachers over the years has been Eckhart Tolle. And The Power of Now is one of his first books that grabbed the consciousness of the planet and continues to shift us, and he continues to. And he says, in a true emergency, the mind stops. You become totally present in the now, and something infinitely, infinitely more powerful takes over. So perhaps in a few moments ago when we took some time into a meditation, maybe it was in a stillness and a silence, that you had a moment of something infinitely more powerful than this emergency called the coronavirus. It's possible. And then maybe not. You know, all of it belongs. A slide that says all of it belongs gets our attention in ways that are really transformational, because in spirit we realize that everything is already whole. Oneness already exists. And so is there anything in creation, including the world that we create, as I look out these beautiful sanctuary windows and see blossoming trees, and spring has sprung, thank God. And I don't know about you, but finally. Yeah. And I left Missouri. Spring had sprung in Missouri. I left, and so I had to miss it. I said, well, I'll get a chance here in Albany, and so here it is. And being out on the trails and so on is just awesome, isn't it? And so springtime is a way of getting into our heart and realizing that, well, yeah, life is a question of balance. I want to read from the author of this, Alan Wolfelt. Dr. Alan Wolfelt is a person that has changed my life in a book that he wrote, Understanding Your Grief. When my younger brother passed away in 06 after a very long and sad illness that all illnesses are, it made a huge difference for me. And I said this earlier, I think it was my first lesson, I said something about grief bursts, because all of this was up for me. I mean, yeah, I could say all of it belongs, you know. And so sometimes when we get into saying, well, all is good and all of this stuff belongs, and people that sometimes don't have another understanding of illusion, well, in the illusory world, it's an illusion, so get over it. Well, that's what I would call spiritual bypassing. I've learned that's another book. And someday we'll talk more deeply about it, even have a class on it. Spiritual bypassing is when we don't open to the deep spiritual work that is ours to do in the midst of whatever is on our plate, whatever is in our world. And I would say right now, I don't know about you, but my plate is hell. It's overflowing. I mean, really. Just when I think I've got my center back. I finally got my a face mask, thanks to some people in the community. I was late in getting it, and my order will be arriving from, I guess, Amazon April 29th. Way to go, Steve, right? So anyway, I had my face mask on, and a couple of days ago, for the first time, I walked into a grocery store with my mask on. And I was in tears. I said, it's come to this. And I was looking at everything in with new eyes. And part of me was into the pain of it all. Into the pain and my pain and talking with people and knowing what's going on in my life and life of loved ones. And I breathed deeply. In some ways, I'm glad that they couldn't see my mouth, because my mouth was quivering. And I had some tears. I'm fine with crying. But what the hell? Got to do it. And I was flashing on. For a while, I thought I was going to be a full-time hospital chaplain or hospice chaplain. I took the training while I was in Kansas City to do that. A whole year of an intern. First training I did was an intern at a level one trauma center in Kansas City. Research hospital it is. And a level one trauma center is a hospital that where all the trauma, the major traumas, are ambulances go to. And they have emergency room, they have high-end physicians and equipment and so on. And the chaplains were part of a team, of the trauma team. Every time there was a trauma coming in, that we were paged, chaplains were paged, we would go to the ER and we would be there to do what is ours to do. Quite often it was holding sacred silence in the midst of apparent horror and chaos and death and pain and suffering. And so I remember when the first time we as chaplains, about eight of us, new chaplains, had a tour of the hospital. And they took us by the ER. And we were right by a room. It was a code had just been called. It was a heart attack, a stroke, and the patient it had to be resuscitated, you know, the old emergency kind of horrors kind of thing. And we were there for quite a while. We just stood outside the room. We could see in. The glass was open. We could see in. And the room was packed with everybody, all kinds of technicians, all kinds of physicians, nurses, doing what they knew how to do. They were all doing it in sync. And I suddenly got an awareness of, this is really perfect. Everyone is doing exactly what they're meant to do. And there was something special and loving about that. And I felt an energy rush in my heart. And I don't know what I said, but there's a woman standing close to me. And afterwards, we were pulling away and sort of talking about what we observed. And she said, Steve, I noticed something changed in you. What was that for you? And so I told her what I just shared with you. That in the midst of, can we make a decision to say that all of it belongs? All of it belongs. So I want to read what Alan Wolfelt, who wrote this book, Understanding Your Grief, was. And he has this organization called Center for Loss. org. And the full name of it is Center for Loss and Life Transition. And he supports people all over the world these days. He says in a posting he just did April 16th, a few days ago, it's a question of balance. We need both. We need to honor the light of the dark and the dark. We need to honor the happy and the sad, and everything in between, because all of it belongs. All of it is authentic. There's nothing more authentic than seeing that emergency code team working on this patient. Nothing more authentic than me to grieve the loss of a loved one. So there's nothing more authentic for you to feel pain and tears and sadness and anger and rage. A feeling is one of the most authentic expressions of humanity. We cannot deny it. We can shove it away and mask it, cover it up. And whatever is authentic is normal and necessary. So normal in what way? Well, if we co-create a reality, we have also co-created this situation that we call the cone of 19. At some level, I'm not aware of exactly why or how. So what? If we co-create this, we also can co-create another possibility. He says, usually we're out of balance because we choose to shine our awareness only on the good stuff. That's what I call spiritual bypassing. So we're not asking you to disown or deny or repress your pain, your suffering, your sadness, your sorrow. If anything, if you're willing and able and wanting to go another step, is you embrace it. Embrace it not that you like it, but you brace it with a consciousness of love, a consciousness of it belongs. I don't know why it belongs, but it belongs. And the important is that it's authentic, and whatever is authentic is therefore normal and necessary. So my tears upon hearing about someone that passed a few days ago is normal and authentic. Your grief about anything that's ever been in your life. We talked in my first lesson about grief bursts. That's where I got this from Alan Wolfelt. A grief burst is a normal expression of healing, a call for continued healing, a grief that we, as we embrace, we also understand that, well, the pain is there, but it's lessened now because I've allowed myself to express. Usually, we're out of balance because we choose to shine our awareness only on the good stuff. But right now, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, we're at risk for the balance tipping too far the other way, in the direction of fear and despair. Yes, in difficult times, we must remember to hope. I want to read this part again. This is the part that really got me from his posting of a few days ago. But right now, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, we are at risk, you're at risk, I'm at risk, everybody here is at risk for the balance tipping too far the other way, in the direction of fear and despair. I tell you, when I've been down and into my fear of despair and incredible tears and so on, and just a few days ago, someone would tell me that, I'd say, oh, hell, get out of here. I don't want to hear that. There is fear and despair. Yes, Steve. There's a part of me that is my observational self. And when I'm aware of that self, which is, by the way, starts with a C, Christ self. My Christ self is observing that, well, Steve, you're in despair and fear right now, and that's okay. Ah, yes. What is your observational self telling you right now? How about in the midst of fear and despair, what are we able to do to say, well, this is something that I understand. It's difficult times. And here's what he says. In these difficult times, we must remember to hope. Now, sometimes that we could spend hours. When I was in ministerial school, we would spend hours debating hope. Is hope airy fairy thinking and, oh, everything's going to be all right and just don't worry, be happy, everything's fine. There's something about that that's true. And the grief's journey, he continues, requires contemplation and turning inward. In other words, doing what we're doing right now, what people all over the country, all over the world are doing right now. Always, we're called to do it because it's our very nature, because we're divine beings, called to tune inward, to tune into another place, to shift our perception to something that's greater than what this appears to be. It requires a willingness to embrace the grief journey, to turn inward. It requires depression, anxiety, and loss of control. Oh, not. Tell me that. Loss of control? I just thought I was doing so well, and all of a sudden I'm on my knees in tears or anger. I was pride that I've gone for months, close to a year or more, without giving a nasty driver the universal signature. I mean, I was very proud of that. Imagine that. I don't know why I said that. We have to delete that. But you know, it requires going into the wilderness. And so I'm not saying that none of us are not doing that. We are. I've talked with so many people in the course of love, in all the sessions that we're doing in your board meetings, the board meeting we have, we talk about what's up for us. And quietness and emptiness invite the heart to observe signs of sacredness, to regain purpose, to rediscover love, to renew life. Reasons to get one's feet out of bed and understanding the pain of loss are not the domain of the medical model of bereavement care. Let's say that one more time because it's powerful. Searching for meaning, reasons to get one's feet out of bed and understanding the pain of loss are not the domain of the medical model of bereavement care. In other words, it's not when you have some model that will tell you what is true. Experience has taught me that it is the mysterious spiritual dimension of grief that harbors the capacity to go on living until we too die. So what he's saying, it's what a lot of us already know. It's why we're here as spiritual beings having this human experience, that we have a belief that there is hope and there's something we can do. In our next slide, we see hope. Look at that, the picture. If you can see that picture, it's of the blue skies. I was seeing that in the trail yesterday or the day before, whenever it was, and right now. So what is hope? It's an expectation of a good that is yet to be. It's an inner knowing that the future holds positive things. It is trust that no matter the current circumstances, the days to come will reveal happiness. It's forward-looking, yet experienced in the now. Oh, that's beautiful. So what is hope? What is your expectation of good that is yet to be for you? This could be a conversation starter for you and people you're with maybe after this call, or maybe if you come to fellowship after time. What's your expectation of a good that is yet to be? Have you shared that? If you're like me, one time people accused me of being a recovering negaholic. I was focusing on the negative, and I would say it, well, look at this. If you're a recovering negaholic, your number has been punched right now, right? This is a big time to be aware of a tendency to be negative. So what's your expectation of a good? It's an inner knowing that future holds positive things. Do you know and believe that your future holds something that's incredibly positive for you and for the planet and for everybody you love, no matter what the situation is? Do you believe that you can trust no matter what the current circumstances are? The days to come will reveal happiness. And some of these you can turn into first-person affirmations. I declare that the days to come will reveal happiness, for example. I trust that no matter what the current circumstances are, the days to come will reveal happiness for me. I am forward-looking yet experienced in the now. For the now is all there is. And the next slide, hope is the reason and the outcome. I love this one. And this is from A Course of Love. Hope is a manner of acting as if the best possible outcome you can imagine could truly occur. Hope is a willingness to accept love and the grace and cooperation that flow from love. Hope is a willingness to ask for help, believing it will come. Hope is the reason and the outcome for which we pray. I love that. And this trail takes us who knows where, the path that we are on, perhaps we are not aware of. So hope is the reason and the outcome. So if you were to create, if you were to pick a slide of your life, a place that brings you some peace and some positive thinking, some transformation from whatever that it has your attention now, what would that be? What if you created a slide and put something in it yourself? You know, I invite you to do that. And those of you that are techie, if you do it on PowerPoint, fine. Send it to us. And we'll put some slides up here of what you have created. What is your reason and the outcome? Hope is the reason and the outcome. Create something that says something to you that's powerful and share it with us, and we'll share it with everyone else. I want to close with some faith in action, and this is the last one, embracing hope. The concept of embracing hope, first of all, are you willing to even consider that you will embrace hope or that you haven't embraced hope? And will this say, I said earlier, well, let's embrace the sadness, the pain, the horror, the COVID-19. Yes. Yes. And as we embrace that, radical acceptance of what is what's happened. Not that we like it, but we embrace what is. We embrace what is, and that's hope. Here's some action steps. Faith and action. Mindfulness and meditation. We could talk a long time about different ways to be mindful and to meditate. There's many different approaches. The main one is really to just you to decide that there must be a better way of experiencing this here and now. And or if you're always doing it, I've been now meditating since the 80s, early 80s, and still do about 30 to 40 minutes every morning. And my life would not be complete if I weren't doing that. I think I have my challenges now. Holy moly, at times I've missed it. I haven't missed one now for about 1,700 days. But the importance of it is very, very real. And whatever mindfulness and meditation is for you, this might be a time for you to dive in and to ratchet it up, to be more prayed up and more meditated up than you have ever been in your life. How about letting go of your illusion of control? And if you, some people don't like the S word, surrender, letting go. Surrender. Practice hope-building activities and shifting your perception, choosing hope. So those are some things you can do to embrace hope. So I'm going to close with, we have up here seven reasons to be of hope, and in the center, a powerful, powerful center of it. But quite often we call this the Christ candle. Now, this works right. Roger, save me. Imagine this. Embracing hope. Roger, I embrace hope with you.
Hold that down.
There we go. Hey. So what we're doing is, by the way, you have your own altar at home of some kind, something new that maybe you've had something for decades. How about something new? What does light mean to you? What does a candle mean to you? Is light more than the absence of darkness? What we're doing here is, in some ways, it could be a ritual. Oops, we did an oops. We were supposed to have this done before the service started. Who said so? What we do know is, as we take a moment, there's something incredibly powerful about this scene. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. There's eight of us here in this sacred space. And there's hundreds, perhaps, with us right now. This is what it's about. Your heart knows. We're in this together. Thank God. God bless you.